Take your Bible tonight, turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and beginning at verse number 8. Verse number 8. After the rapture, what? After the rapture, what? Now let's notice here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Now, I believe that when we are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord.
Amen.
I don't believe in soul sleep.
Right.
I don't believe in going and praying over graves where people done dead.
Amen.
Amen? That doesn't do a thing for them. And it doesn't help you on a rainy day.
Amen.
Okay? I mean, you just get wet. That's all there is to that. But a couple of days ago, people went and prayed over graves. Did it here in the United States. They did it in Bowling Green.
That's right.
They went over there and they prayed over graves, praying for dead people. A buddy of mine, we went down there to that St. Louis Cathedral, you know, that the big one down in New Orleans. We went down in there, and a lot of my family baptismal records, I know a lot of my history because I can go back there and get baptismal records, but they're not really baptized, they're just sprinkled as a baby. But we went in that place, wasn't anybody in there, just me and my buddy, and had all these candles lit. He thought they had forgot and left them lit, and he blew them all out and sent a bunch of people to hell right then and there. It was a terrible day. It was terrible. Oh, my. Verse number 9. "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." We want to do right. We want to be right with Him. Amen?
Amen.
"For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." After the rapture, what? Well, first of all, here, the judgment seat. The judgment seat of Christ. That's what takes place right after the catching away. Right after we are yanked out of here. We're going to be leaving here, according to what the Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him."
Amen.
I like that. Amen?
Amen.
Sleep in Jesus?
Right.
He's going to bring us with Him, those who are dead. I like it.
Amen.
Then I like that one that says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." When I was in the military over in Korea, I had up under my glass on my desk a picture of folks coming out of their graves. And there was a fellow named Martinez in our group there, and he wouldn't get near my desk. He said, "I'm afraid of folks coming out of graves." I said, "Well, you don't have to be. You can be one of those rising. If you get to know the Lord, you can go with that first load." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can do it. Now, this great event, this judgment seat of Christ, will take place after the rapture. Now, there are two threads that run through the Bible, two major threads that run through the Bible. First of all, there is the scarlet thread of blood redemption. That runs all the way from Genesis to Revelation. One preacher down home said, "Goes all the way from the generation to the revolution."
Right.
All the way down through there. But it goes from Genesis to the Revelation. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. That's what the Bible says. And there in Genesis 24, where God provided the ram in the thicket, That where it says God Himself will provide a lamb, that's looking to the Lamb of God. That's looking to God providing His Son for our salvation. And it goes all the way back into that book of Genesis. It walks us all the way through the Bible. There's a scarlet thread of blood redemption, Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Many other verses. And then there's the golden thread of the second coming of Jesus. I believe He's coming. I believe we're in the 11th hour. I believe the clock is getting ready to strike midnight. I don't believe it'll be much longer. Now I'm going to work till Jesus comes.
Amen.
Some churches ought to sing, "We'll shirk till Jesus comes," because that's what they're doing. They're not getting much done. We've got to keep going forward for the Lord, doing what's right. Jesus is coming. John 14:2-3, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He's going to receive us. So there's a scarlet thread. There's a golden thread, the Bible says. Now, I want you to be assured of one thing. Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Christ is coming back.
Amen.
And I'm ready. Like one fellow said, "I got my ticket punched." I got it punched. A lot of these younger people, they don't know about punching a ticket. They don't know about that. Used to get on the train or get on the bus, and they'd punch your ticket. Punch your ticket. Well, mine's punched.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have to go to the kiosk and go through. I don't have to go through security.
Amen.
That's the most aggravating thing about flying anymore. You got to go through there. Listen, I was in Minnesota, flying out of Minneapolis, and I'd been preaching in Wisconsin, and we stopped at about 4 in the morning when we had to leave, and I said, "Look, I won't get to eat for a while, and I'm gonna have a banana and just put it in my pocket." I had on that blue coat that I wore today, early, and I had that banana. And it was just sticking in that pocket like that. And I had my hand on it. I didn't want my nanner to fall out. And I got in that line. And one of the gals was looking and looking. She said, "What you got in that pocket?" I was afraid to pull it out. I said, "Don't shoot." I said, "It's a nanner." And I pulled it out. Everybody laughed. I'll tell you, we've gone crazy about this stuff, haven't we? We have. I had some eye surgery a little while back, and they fixed me too good. They raised my eyebrow because it was slumping. And so now my contact won't stay in. And so when it comes out, I got to put it back in because I can't see without it. So I'm going to put it back in front of the world. I got to have it in there. That's just the way it is. I've had both of my corneas transplanted. I've got somebody else's corneas. Got something in Vietnam called keratoconus and lost sight in my left eye and then in my right eye. But I got somebody else's corneas. And I can see you. Without the contacts, I see 2,400. That's not too good. So I got to stick it in. I didn't mean to distract y'all. But I had to do that. That's just the way it is. That's the way it works. Now, this judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, does not determine heaven or hell.
Amen. That's right.
It does not. That's already determined here on this earth. Now, I believe in a personal salvation. I believe you must be saved in time. I believe you're lost and undone and depraved and on the way to hell. And in time, you must be saved. There comes a place. I do not believe in eternal justification.
Right.
I believe that you must come to a place where you see your need. You must do that. 1 John 5:12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You must have Jesus Christ. And a lot of folks want to make things so difficult and they want to add so many things to and sometimes take things away. But my Bible teaches me in the Gospel of John, in the third chapter, and in verse number 18, and then again in verse number 36, that we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is all about. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's what the jailer said. What was the answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Here in John 3 and 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. That's it. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not prayed enough prayer. Because he hadn't been baptized. Because he hadn't had the Lord's Supper. Because he didn't belong to the church. No, he is condemned because that he believeth not. He hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's it.
Amen.
Verse 36 of this same chapter, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But listen, the wrath of God abideth on him. That's present. The lost person is as good as in hell.
Amen.
I mean, they're lost. And the wrath of God is right there.
That's right.
They're undone. They need salvation. Now, what is the meaning of this judgment seat? We must all stand before the judgment seat of God. I believe to understand the meaning here, what the judgment seat is all about, we need to understand that this seat is not a judicial seat. In the Greek, it's the bimetai tou Christou, which means a reward seat. It is a place of reward. It's not a place of judgment. It's where you receive your rewards. It's a raised platform. The bima, that's a word that all of these folks were familiar with. It was part of their society. It was a raised platform on which a judge or a umpire would sit and would mete out rewards. Sometimes you'd call it a rostrum or a platform. L. Sell Harrison says this. He says, in the Grecian games in Athens, the old arena contained a raised platform on which the president or umpire of the arena sat, and here he watched all the contestants, and here he rewarded all the winners, and it was called the bima, a reward seat. It was never used of a judicial bench. That's what we have here. We have a bima. The bima. You have a football game, one team loses, one team wins. Do you shoot the losing team? Well, they didn't win. We'll let them play another day. But see, when we get here, there won't be any other days. Amen?
Right.
This is it. This is the judgment seat for Christians. It's a place of reward. The judgment seat is a reviewing stand, in front of which we'll all pass. How many of y'all been in the military? Any of y'all? All right, several of you. Several of you. Now, you get through, or even during boot camp, they'll take you out to the parade field. And here's the general, and the colonel, the major. They're sitting on a platform. And your drill sergeant has you marching. You're in dress uniform. I mean, everything is slick. Shoes are shined. They call it spit shine. You can see your face, you know. Your hat's just right. Breeches have creases. They're just right. And you walk in front of that reviewing stand, and when you get right in front of it, that old drill sergeant, he'll holler out, "Hey, right!" And everybody looks. You just keep marching. You look. And you know what that old general's doing? He's looking you up and down. Up and down. Up and down. Up and down. And one of the flights, I was in the Air Force, one of the flights got the reward. Because they were the better one. You see. One day you're going to go before the Lord Jesus. Everything's going to pass before Him. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to happen. And we'll see more of that in just a moment. This is going to take place. It's going to happen. We'll see how it happens in a few moments. And It takes place just after the rapture of the saints of God. And some, you know, they use the rapture of the church. Well, the church is a local visible body, and we'll be raptured out, churches, as such. But I like the rapture of the saints. There'll be a lot of folks who aren't members of a true church that'll go, too. They're going to go and be there at the judgment seat of Christ. One of the verses I like to look at here in seeing this is Luke chapter 14 and verse 14. This is an important verse in understanding this. I do not believe in a general judgment. I don't believe we're going before a general judgment. Not everybody's going to go stand before a general judgment. I don't believe that. Because the Bible doesn't teach it. Now, here in Luke 14, 14, the Scripture says, "And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee." Down here, I can't give you a reward that's suitable, and nobody else can. Pat you on the back. If you're looking for a pat on the back every time you do something for the Lord, you're going to be sorely disappointed.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you do it for the Lord. You're not doing it for the recognition of men. You serve God.
Amen.
I'll come by the church and somebody will be out there working on something, doing something, maybe carrying a pew apart. I don't know. Working on it. But they'll be working on something. And they don't care whether anybody knows it or not. I just happened up on them. Pulling weeds, sweeping floors, mopping. That's good, isn't it?
Amen.
Now notice it. "And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the" what? "Just." So there is a resurrection of the just, and after the resurrection of the just, you get recompense. Okay? And that's at the judgment seat. Now, the judgment seat takes place between the rapture and the revelation. The rapture is the catching away of the saints at the beginning of the tribulation. The revelation is when Christ comes back with His saints at the end of the tribulation, where the Scripture says in the book, little book of Jude, "The Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints." So the Lord is coming back with His people. Just as we would amass ourselves for those reviews, there's going to be a massing of the saints one of these days. Boy, I can remember those parade fields. I can remember all those different, in the Army it'd be a platoon, in the Air Force it was a flight. Everybody lined up. Everybody ready to march. My son-in-law has spent two tours in Iraq, and we went down when he graduated up here, finished boot camp at Fort Knox, and went over there and saw him march in review. And then the governor of Mississippi, when they sent the old Mississippi Rifles over to Iraq, he was there and sent them off, and they went in review. They all massed together. One day there will be a massing in heaven. That is going to take place one of these days. And the massing will take place not when Christ comes to rule and reign on the earth, but it'll take place when we're raptured. It'll take place in the heavenlies. It'll take place away from this old earth. That's when it's going to take place. Now, who are those folks who will stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Who are those who will appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Now, let's nail it down tonight. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5 and begin at verse 1. Now, I want you to notice with me, I want you to help me to understand this. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. Now, a key in understanding this is to look at verse 10. Where it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." The "we" and the "all" are the same people. You got it? The "we" and the "all" are the same people. We, for we must all appear. before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, verse number one, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, all right, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Who has a building not made with hands in the heavens? The lost or the saved? All right. Verse 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Who's getting that new body from heaven? Lost or saved?
Saved.
Verse number 3. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. We're going to have a robe of righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
I believe that's saved, folks, again. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. And I'm guaranteeing you, we groan in this tabernacle.
Amen.
Amen. I hate to say this, but I had to go to the doctor the other day because my big toe was hurting so bad. And I didn't have a pastor to call and talk to him. But really, I got to hurting on my toe and I had to go to the podiatrist. And he had to work on it some, you know. And that's all right. We groan in this body. Any of y'all, when you get up in the morning, you go, ugh, oh, my. You know, it's hard to get up. It's hard to get up. And we're, you know, the old knees creak and all that. We groan. We groan. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality shall be swallowed up of life. Talking about lost or saved. Saved. Now, he that hath wrought us, and that word wrought means work.
Amen.
He's done a work. Amen?
Amen?
Now, he that hath wrought us for the self-same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Who has the earnest of the Spirit?
Saved
people. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are in or while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We know we're in the body and we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Who walks by faith? The Christian does. We walk by faith. Now, verse number 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. That's talking about saved people. Amen? Therefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Who's it talking about? Lost people or saved people?
Amen.
I think we nailed it. There'll be those that say, well, I just don't believe that. Let Scripture speak. Put it in context. Amen? Put it where it ought to be and see it as God has it for us. This is talking about saved people only. The lost will not be here at this judgment. Only those who trust in Christ and Him alone for salvation will be at the judgment seat, at the Bimatai, to Christ to. Now, I want us to see the impact of this judgment, and we're going to have to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and beginning at verse number 11. Here's the impact of it. Here's what's going to happen on that particular day. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. Amen. Who's our foundation? Jesus is. Jesus is the foundation. You've got to have Him. He is the foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So we have to build on this particular foundation. Now, we have to understand that we're building on a foundation that we have. We're not building a foundation. The foundation's already built. All right? The Bible says that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which were before ordained. that we should walk in them. So we find the foundation here. Now, verse number 12 gives us materials for building on the foundation. First of all, we see, now if any man build upon this foundation, and you are building on it right now. You're building gold, silver, precious stones. Wood, hay, stubble. You got those materials to build with. Now, gold, silver, and precious stones, they're going to abide, aren't they? They're going to abide. They make it through the fire. They're indestructible. They're going to make it. That's what we see here. What are some of the things that we can use that will be indestructible? I believe when you pray by faith, that's an indestructible thing.
Amen.
You pray believing, trusting in God. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. We're to pray. That's an indestructible thing. And then Bible study in the Spirit is indestructible. Study to show thyself approved unto whom? Unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's gold, silver, and precious stones. And then we need to do works of love because we are saved. We're to have tender mercy. We're to have the fruits of the Spirit. We're to have love and joy and peace and temperance and all of those things. We are to have works of love. And then we need to have obedience. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep what? My commandments.
Amen.
So if you love Him, keep His commandments. You know what you're doing? You're building. You're building on the foundation. Then I believe the Bible teaches us we need to have compassion. Some people disagree with Proverbs 11:30. I know some folks won't even quote it, but I quote it because it's in the Bible. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise.
Amen.
It's not that I can win anybody in the sense of saving them. I can't. But what did Andrew do? He went and found somebody.
Amen.
Didn't he? He went and found them and brought them to Jesus.
Amen.
What are we supposed to do? Go out and find them, bring them to Jesus.
Amen.
Brother Jim and I had an opportunity to witness some today. Drop some seed in the soil.
Amen.
We did. I'm going to let God take care of that. Amen. And God will take care of that in His purpose, plan, and time. But I'm the one who's to be faithful in planting the seed. I'm to do that. And then there are other materials. And that's the wood, hay, and stubble. The wood, hay, and stubbles. Now, you can build a great foundation and then build a chicken coop on it. Wouldn't that be a waste of money? We had a fellow in our area, he built this nice foundation to build an old, a nice foundation, built a shabby pole barn on it. I guess he wanted to make sure his tractor wouldn't fall through. But he didn't build much of a barn, had great foundation. That's all right. But he doesn't have much. All he's got is a foundation. Okay? I worked for the First National Bank in Louisville, Kentucky when I was in Bible college. I worked from 11 at night until 7 in the morning. Drove back out to Valley Station and went to school. My eyes were that big, trying to keep them open during that time. But I worked there in First National Bank, and part of my job was down in the basement where the vault was. And the security was and everything. You talk about a foundation. That thing is 50 stories tall. And they dug down to bedrock and then they punched into it a little bit. They built a great foundation. I mean, it's a wonderful foundation. You know what they could have done? Well, we got this foundation. Let's put a hot dog stand up there. You've got the best foundation if you know Jesus.
Amen.
What are you building?
Amen.
What are you building? Wood, hay, and stubble? I tell you what, I mean, somebody might be a Sister Wiggerjaw. I don't know. You know Sister Wiggerjaw? I don't like that preacher. Some of them like that. Sometimes people get the pooch mouth. Y'all know what the pooch mouth is?
Amen.
My wife says, don't do that. You're ugly when you do that. I thought I was ugly when I did do it. Oh, how do we build? What answer? We do so by building on worldliness. The things of this world and those things that are ungodly. You know, they had a commercial years ago about 7-Up was an un-cola. Remember that? You know what un means? It means no cola. You know what ungodly means? There's no God in it.
Amen.
God's not there. So there are ungodly things in this world because God's nowhere near it. And you lose reward. There are things that are going to be burned away when you get involved in those kind of things. We're warned, love not the world. These are the things of the world. And then there are those who rebel against the principles of God. They rebel against the Word of God. And they say, I don't care. I've had people tell me, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to live the way I want to. I was preaching in Owensboro about, 15 years ago. And I was preaching along, and a couple got up, and they had those doors that go, woof, 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 woof. And man, they made those doors sing when they went out. Preacher went and talked to them. They said, we ain't having nobody tell us what to do. You know what I was doing? Same thing I'm doing here tonight, preaching the Bible.
Amen.
I'm going to let God tell me whatever He wants me to know. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to rebel against that. I don't want to. I pray I won't. I don't want to do that. I want to do what God would have me to do. Some folks have a bad attitude. Bad attitude about everything. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth now. I'm not standing around people that have a bad attitude all the time. It'll rub off on you.
Right.
You get to be just like them.
Right. Amen.
I like to stay around people who got a positive attitude. Amen. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Amen.
I like that.
Amen.
That's what we need. Cold and indifferent spirit. Lack of prayer. Lack of Bible study. All those things are wood, hay, and stubble. Now look at verse 13. Verse 13 said, every man's work shall be made manifest. Every Christian's work is going to be made manifest. It's going to be shown for what it is. It's going to show up. Your work is going to be made manifest. The Bible says, for the day shall declare it, the day of the judgment seat, because it shall be revealed by fire. Now, personally, I refer back to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14, where it says that His eyes, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, were as a flame of fire.
Yes, amen.
He's not going to burn us, but He's going to do what He did with Peter when Peter denied Him and Jesus was being escorted across that courtyard and all he had to do is look at Peter and Peter broke down. All the Lord's going to have to do is look, and He knows everything about you. Amen. Everything's going to be revealed. No matter what you do, it's going to be revealed. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, built on what? Verse 11. Are you saved? You got a foundation. If you're not, you're in a hole.
Yeah,
amen. I mean, you're in the pit.
Right.
The wrath of God abides on you. That's what Scripture says. Any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Gold, silver, precious stone. You're going to get a reward. You're going to get a reward. And what are you going to want to do with that reward? I believe I'm just going to give it back to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to do. But I want to have something to give Him.
Amen.
I do. But notice verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned. Now there are those who say, no, you've got to live it every day. If you don't live it every day and cross every T and dot every I, you're not going to make it. Well, wait a minute. I believe you ought to do right. I believe you ought to live for the Lord. I believe that's what God wants, but I want you to look at this verse. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? Rewards. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. He gets there, has no reward. But why is he saved? Because he has verse 11.
Amen.
He's got the foundation. You know what he does? He gets in with his coattail smoking. I mean, it's going to be a close one. But because he's got the foundation, he's going to get in. Amen. Yeah, the sins of the thing. And he's going to be sorry when he gets there and says, oh, I could have done better. Why did I live the way I lived? Why didn't I do right? I want to tell you something tonight. No man goes to hell because he's not good enough. The only reason you go to hell is because you don't have the foundation. You don't have Jesus. And it's a serious, serious, serious thing tonight. Christian, it's serious what you build with. It is. It's serious. Lost person, it's serious tonight. Your salvation. It's important that you come to Christ.